Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today you will hear a sermon from Pastor Frank Pizor. So without further ado, here he is.
Well, today is the third part of this three-part series, and I just want to introduce myself. My name is Frank. I am a new creation in Christ. I'm also one of the pastors here at Harvest Community Church. I am currently enrolled in a 12-step program called Regeneration. What started out initially as anger issues evolved into a root of bitterness and ultimately came to the resting place right now where I am recognizing that I have an apathy, a sinful apathy towards various aspects of the character of God and obedience to his will. And despite a strong biblical theology, I often find that I live in such a way that I have made God in my own image. Let's read the verses that we're going to look at today as we look at step three of any 12-step program. This is just step three. There's many more to come. But today I want to talk about trust and surrender. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Actually, I'm just going to go to 37. It reads this way. And Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let's pray. Father, we can acknowledge that you are good. We confess that when we turn to other things, without turning to you, that we're actually saying something different. We confess that trying to be like Jesus just doesn't work. We confess that we want to get to a place where we can depend fully upon you, so that this life that you call us to live like Jesus is a life that we can actually live like because you have. You have provided everything that we need for us in the frailty and weakness of our flesh to be like Jesus. I pray then that you would bring us to a place of surrender, completely trusting in what we've already said, that you are good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just kind of as a review, there are three steps that we, by the end of today, will have talked about. The first step, basically, is in a 12-step program, I can't. And rather than just saying I can't, like I can't, I think the best way that it should be put is that this I can't is a cry of despair about our inability to actually live the life that God calls us to, which is a life that calls us to be like Jesus. That's the standard throughout the New Testament that we see that God calls us to. Be like Jesus. But we can't do that. And I think everyone here will go, yes, I understand that. I know that. But this first step really calls for us to be desperate, to be very in a great sense of despair that I cannot do this life that you want me to live, which would then lead us to the second step, which basically says, he can. I can't, but he can. It's a recognition that we might be helpless, but we're not hopeless. We have hope. Jesus can change us. Jesus can help us to walk, to live just like him. But we need to realize that the reality of it all is that we are in a war between the flesh and the spirit. We can't live in both worlds at the same time. It's either or. We are either in the spirit or we are in the flesh. And so when we say, I can't live like you want me to live, we can turn to Jesus and say, you have already done what's necessary for me to actually be like you. You can. He can. This third step, though, gets us, after we recognize all of that, to a place where we have to say, I trust you. I trust your goodness. I know I can't follow you. I know I can't be like Jesus. I'm looking at the idols in my heart and I see that they have a firm hold on my life. But you have broken me. You've broken me out of that. You've broken the strongholds. I can follow you. I trust you to do that. But to get to that place of trust, we have to say, I surrender. We have to go beyond just acknowledging the fact that I can't and he can, but to a place of I surrender. Because even like we talked about last week, I think most of those statements, and even this statement, are ones that we can acknowledge in our minds. And say, yes, I absolutely agree with that. There's no problem. But the desperation and the wonderful beauty of lights going on and off to keep us awake, to tell us, I surrender. So let me set it up this way, because the verses that we read, we need a little bit of a context, right? So if you can imagine, one day Jesus is on a road trip with his disciples. Now, I don't know if it was just the 12 of them or the 72 or if there was a crowd that was following them. But in verse of chapter 8, excuse me here, of Mark 8:27, Jesus asks them a question. Now, they've probably done some ministry here in Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asks this question, turns to his disciples, and he says, let there be light. No, he didn't say that. What he said is, who do people say I am? Who do people say I am? And so the disciples go, oh, some people say you're Elijah, John the Baptist, this other prophet. And so they're going about all these things about who people are saying who this Jesus guy is. And then he asks another question. He goes, who do you say I am? And their answer from Peter is this: you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the anointed one. Now, when he says that, what he's really saying is, oh, this is perfect. That's not what he said. This is perfect. Can you keep it like this? Okay, thank you. What he says is, I can see you guys. Sorry. What he says is this, pretty simply, is you're the king. You're the Messiah. We don't understand what a king is. Now, I know we've had this kind of underlying theme of no kings here in the United States. I get that part. But we don't really understand what a king is like because we've never really lived under a king who says, this is what you do, or off with their heads. And I know that God is not like that. But what I'm trying to say is that when we really understand what Peter is saying has depth, has gravity to it. What he's saying is, you're the king. You're the savior. You're the one who has come. And so when we look at this, we look at Peter and we go, Peter, good job. You got it right. Because Jesus said, who do you say I am? And he gave the right answer. Peter was right. But then notice what Jesus does in verse 32. He says this, as he talked about his rejection, his suffering, and his death openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand Jesus for saying such things. Here's what the problem is. You see, Peter goes, you're the Christ. You're the King. You're the Messiah. You're from God. And then Jesus says, now, I'm going to explain to you something about the Old Testament that explains I didn't come just to be a conquering king, but first to be a suffering servant. And so Jesus is explaining how he's going to be this suffering servant. And Peter says, hold on a minute. What are you talking about? You're the king. Don't you understand what a king does? You don't get it. And the thing that we need to understand in this interaction between Peter and Jesus is this. Sometimes you can get it right and wrong at the same time. Sometimes you can get it right and wrong at the same time. Peter's declaration was 100% right. He was 100% wrong in his perception of who Jesus was because he saw something in his mind. His perspective was the king has come to conquer and set us free. I think we do the same today too, right? How many of you would argue that Jesus is not the Savior? We'd all say, yes, Jesus is the Savior. He has come, as it says in Matthew chapter 1, to set his people free from their sins. Absolute truth. We all agree. He has come to bring us eternal life. Not just the eternal life in the future, but the eternal life of knowing God now. We would all agree with that. And then if I said, how many of you would agree that Jesus is Lord? We would probably all raise our hands and say, yes, Jesus is Lord. But it's not the raising of hands that count. It is the way in which we live that makes a difference. You see, Jesus is saying, yes, I am the king, but I'm going to die. Peter is saying, may it never be. that's not right. Jesus, you don't understand what a king is and what he does. And Jesus says, Peter, you don't understand who I am as king. Yes, I am Savior. Yes, I am King. Yes, I am Lord, but not in the way you have made me to be. And I think that's my struggle. I have made God in my own image. I have domesticated Jesus in such a way that I say to Jesus, listen, Jesus, this is how it works. When it comes to anger or when it comes to bitterness or even apathy towards your will, there are things that you that I expect you to do. I mean, you are the justifier, so why not justify me in my position and in the rightness of what I believe? Because I want him to do what I want him, what I want him to do. I want my will to be followed. And that's where that apathy comes in, because we get it right that Jesus is the Savior. He has saved us from our sins, but we get it wrong when we don't follow him as Lord. We hold on to our hurts. We hold on to our habits. We hold on to our hang-ups. And how or why? Because God loves me. And he accepts me the way I am. And he does. But he doesn't leave us there. We have to understand Jesus, yes, is Savior. And wherever you are at, even in the worst of positions, Jesus accepts you right there, right then, at that moment for who you are. But he doesn't leave us there. Because that would be wrong. What he wants to bring us to a place is conformity to the image of who Jesus is. Yes, full acceptance by the grace of God to bring us by the grace of God to this place where we are like Jesus. So whatever your hurt, your habit, or your hang-up, whatever it is, whether it's people-pleasing, whether it's gossip, whether it's being judgmental, whether it's being angry or bitter, or whatever it is, Jesus may accept you for where you are when you come, but he doesn't leave you there because he wants you to be like him. So we get it right. Yes, Jesus, Savior. Jesus, Lord, hold on a minute. There's a disconnect. Because we hold on to those things and we use our sin as an excuse, trusting and knowing that God loves us and forgives us, and he does fully and completely. But the call of God is for us to repent, to surrender our will and follow his. I look at myself, I'm going to be honest with you. I have no doubt whatsoever that Jesus is Savior. I have no doubt that Jesus has come to save me from my sin. But it's not just for me, it's for anyone and everyone who would repent and believe. There's no question about that. I would also agree that I also believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is worthy of worship. Look at all of the grace and mercy that he has poured out on us as people, that he has poured out upon me. I know me. I shake my head sometimes and wonder, how is it that God can still stick up with me? But he does, because he is full of grace and he's full of patience. But he doesn't want to leave us in this place where we rot in our sin, because sin destroys and sin has consequences. He doesn't want us to rot there. He brings us to a place of grace and becoming more like Jesus. I've been reading Hosea like I expressed to you a couple weeks ago, and I'm seeing, when I first read Hosea, I think, man, God is tough. Man, he is not letting these people go in their sin. But I'm realizing interlaced throughout all of Hosea is this sense of the patience and grace of God that says, yes, I see your sin. I see you following other gods. I see you rejecting my goodness. I see that you live in the sin and you think because you're my people, it's all good, but it's not. Repent, turn from that. And over and over and over again, God keeps calling his people back to live with me as your king. So when Jesus comes and he says, I am Savior, he also says that I am Lord. We need to have both of these things to truly understand who it is this Jesus is that we follow. So you can get it right and you can get it wrong at the same time. Without really understanding who Jesus has revealed himself to be, who Peter declared, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the anointed one of God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are worthy of worship. And I look at my life and I look at my sin and I turn from that and I turn to God. Like it says in the Old Testament, turn from your sin and return to me. That's the process and grace of God and the mercy of God at work in our lives. But it is a call to living a holy lifestyle, because how we live actually matters. It makes a difference. Now, but let's move on. This is what verse 34 again, as we read. This is what Jesus does. He summoned the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me." Now, what I want you to know, first and foremost, is he summoned the crowd. So there was a crowd behind them. How big the crowd was, I don't know. But he summons everybody, and he says, "Hey, listen up." And he doesn't say, in light of the conversation that I just had with Peter, who got it right but then got it wrong, but he says, in light of all of this, I want to tell y'all something, that if you want to follow me, here's the ground rules. It's not try to be happy, not try to receive peace, not try to get this love that you're looking for. He says, listen, if you really want to follow me, if anyone wishes to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. In other words, the idea of follow, as we've talked about before, is if you want to imitate me, if you want to be like me, you have to deny yourself, and you have to take up your cross. Now, again, I think Peter's got to be like, bro, take up your cross? Do you not, Jesus, do you not understand what a cross is? I mean, in our minds, we say, yeah, a cross is a place of pain and death. And the only way I can even describe it is if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson. And even then, I don't think it really describes what it is, because it is a long, excruciatingly slow, painful kind of death. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to follow me, and in Luke it says daily, but if you want to follow me daily, this is what you need to do. You have to die to yourself. You have to take up your cross. Not in a physical sense, because you can't die and come back to life each and every day, but in a spiritual sense, you are dying to the desires, to living in the flesh, and you're putting on a new life found in Christ. Now, I know that we like to think that, you know, the cross can't understand it, so let's put it in modern terms, an electric chair. But I don't think, I've never seen an electrocution, but I would say an electrocution by the electric chair probably is not a long, enduring, excruciatingly painful experience. I've never seen one. I don't know. Anyone want to quickly Google how long it takes for an electrocution? Don't do it. But like, if you did, I'm sure it's not for hours and hours and hours. Because what Jesus is trying to communicate is, if you really want to follow me, if you really want to imitate me, this old way of living that is stuck in sin, whether it's a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, whatever it is, to be stuck in that is not the call that I am calling you to. The call that I am calling you to is a long, excruciating life of denying your personal desires and submitting them to the desire of God. To live this life of surrender. You cannot live in the flesh and live in the spirit at the same time. And even I'm learning with Standing Stone, this ministry that I'm doing to pastors, some of these guys have this perspective that as long as God is blessing me in my ministry, God says it's okay. And the answer is no. Look at the sin that you're stuck in. Look at the backstage of your life. Everyone may say you have it together, but what is the backstage? We come here today, we may look good. And most of us look good. I'm here, so that means not all of us. But most of us look good. And in light of that, you may look good on the outside, but what's really happening on the inside? Who runs your life? Because if Jesus the Savior runs your life, you can do whatever you want, because you are always forgiven. But if Jesus as Lord is running your life, you can no longer live in the flesh. You must live in the Spirit. Notice, but Jesus says, listen, deny yourself. He doesn't say live by self-denial, because self-denial is something a lot of people can do, right? Athletes, any athletes here? You want to get really good, right? What do? You have to deny what? Self-denial. I'm going to deny what I eat, what I drink. I'm going to exercise, do all that. Someone can do that, but what Jesus is saying, to be like me, all of your desires must die for yourself, so that I can bring to life all of the desires that God wants for you. This is not an easy life. It's not an easy call. It's a lifestyle. It's a surrender. It's a saying, God, not my will, but your will. My will, vengeance. My will, let them feel what I feel. My will, I want them to suffer. And God says, no, that's your will. My will is that you might forgive, that you might be like Jesus. No, 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 you can't do it that way, God. It must be this way. People must know and no. It's this way. It's my way. And that requires us to surrender. Because carrying our cross just isn't about some irritating thing that goes on in our life, enduring some irritating people at work or even in our neighborhood or whatever. That's not denying ourselves. That's not carrying our cross. Carrying our cross, what Jesus is saying here, is a lifestyle. This is how you will live. You will not live according to what you want, but you will live according to what the Father wants. Because this is what I did. This is what I did. Here's the beauty of it, I think. Even though Jesus is calling them to take up their cross on a daily basis, I don't think he stops there. Because if your Christianity is only cross-based, you miss out on the resurrection and the ultimate ascension into heaven. See, the cross is only one stop on this path to becoming more like Jesus. Because after the cross and that daily dying to self, we are now free to experience life in the Spirit, the very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the very Spirit that gives us life now to live this life, to be like Jesus, ultimately to get to a place when we are enthroned with Christ at the right hand of God, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. You see, the whole Scripture points to a God who is extravagantly in love with his creation, who then is rejected by his creation, and then says, listen, do you want to know me? Do you want to live life like life is supposed to be lived? Then turn from your sin and turn to me. The richness of the mercy and grace of God, the patience of God, the extravagant patience of God calls us to what? To die to self and to imitate Jesus, because God has given us that grace to be just like Christ. Verse 35 says this, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, the option that Jesus gives is this. You can have it all. You can have everything. But when it's over, you're going to lose it. Or you can lose all this good stuff, holding on to your will, holding on to your rights. You can lose that and yet gain life. This is the mercy, the grace, the patience, the love of God calling to people all throughout Scripture. You can choose. You have the freedom to follow your own way. But if you're going to want to be like Jesus, you have to realize you can't live like that anymore. And he has provided a way for you to live a different life. The place to be, the place to get to, is the place of surrender. Now, surrender is not a good term, right? You ever think about surrender? When you think about surrender, maybe you think about a world war, like World War I, the Germans surrendered, and then they felt like they got screwed in the end. So we have to have World War II. And then Stalin's all worried about his stuff, so he feels like he all turned his back. So surrender is not a good word in our world. If you go into a wrestling match, right? Surrender, you want to get the other person to surrender so you can, you pin them, I won. But when Jesus calls us to surrender, what he's saying is you're surrendering your will to my will. And in my benevolence and grace, I'm giving you life. Could you imagine, do you realize, maybe you have never thought about this, but World War II didn't have to happen. Now, mind you, with the sinfulness of humanity, it did. But it could have been, you know what, we had this war, let's figure this out and how we can work together. Instead of crushing you, so that in your anger you seek vengeance, how can we lift you up? It always makes me wonder, and this is off base, so if I get, I apologize, but I often wonder, if colonialism and imperialism were based on the fact that when we come to your country, we're going to lift you up, it wouldn't be a problem. You know why it's a problem? Because we come to these things and we want to crush and dominate and oppress. You know, this is really weird. And all the stuff they've been releasing about UFOs, you've heard about, right? Government's releasing all these UFO information. Wouldn't it be crazy if aliens came to our planet and instead of trying to crush us like you see in all the movies, they came and said, we want to give you technology so that your life would be better. We want to come and we want to give you cures for cancer so your life could be better. We want to give you cures for poverty, all these kind of cures. Now, would you surrender to that? Would you surrender to someone who comes and benevolently says, we will give you no strings attached. We're going to give you everything you need to prosper. Would you not surrender to that? And that's what God says. I'm going to give you what you need. You can trust me, for God is good. And in his goodness, the call of Jesus to surrender is not a call that will destroy, but will give life. This is why step three is so important, because step three helps us to see that, God, I trust in your goodness. I trust that you are good, not that you do good things, but the very core of who you are is good, and your desire is to bless your creation. And when you call me to die to myself, my will, my way, to surrender, I'm in. Because it's the way that leads to life. To get there requires us to repent. Not my will, not my way, not my hurts, not my habits, not my hang-ups, not my personality, and not all the simple things that I think that aren't really that bad but really are. Like I would say, hey, I eat a lot, so what? But I eat because my idol is my stomach. That's my God, not him, whom I should be turning to for comfort. My people pleasing. I don't want to say and do things that's going to offend somebody. Because isn't it true? Don't we all want people to like us? There might be a few here who don't care whatever people say. But most of us really want to be loved. We don't want to be at our funeral and everybody say, I hated that guy. Right? Do you really sit there and think, boy, I'd really love at my funeral if everyone got up and said, I really hated that guy. He was a real jerk. Can't stand him. Glad he's gone. No, we don't want to hear that. So we people please. That is not what God calls us to. It is God-pleasing that he calls us to. All the things that we do. I've been offended by somebody. I have a right to be justified. No. The call is to be like Jesus. That's what we now are given the right to. We are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. But we can trust this God when we come to him. Why? Because Romans 8 tells us what? The very God who gave his only son did not spare him for us. Will he not give us everything that we've asked for? And the answer is yes. Why? Because God is good. And if God has given so much that we might live, why would you not surrender to that? He can be trusted. So that thing that you're hanging on to, that you refuse to let go of, whether it's a deep, dark sin that you know is absolutely wrong, or something like gossip, which you might think, oh, we just want to pray for the person, whatever, that is what God calls us to give it all up. And that's why I like this 12-step program, because you know what it does? It's different than many other programs. But I digress. Let me finish with this. I'm going to give you three applications. First application is this. I'm going to ask you to really read Galatians 5:16-24. Not right now. And if you ever get a chance to read this book, it's called The Missing Messiah by Kyle Eidelman. I've only read like chapter 1 through 6. I'm going to encourage you, do not buy it. Because when you buy it, you're going to go, I didn't really like it. Because it's a really tough book to get through. But chapter 1 and 5, man, it's a home run. He's talking about a lot of things that I'm talking about. Very helpful to me today. But get that and read that and see, who is this Jesus that I really follow? Savior, or Lord. Read Galatians 5, because Galatians makes it black and white. It's either you are in the spirit or you are in the flesh. What do you resemble more? Do you remember 19 through 20, do you resemble 19 through 21 or 22 and 23? Which one are you resembling? So I'm going to ask you, do that on your own. Read it. See this call that Jesus is not just Savior, but he's also Lord. He is both, not one or the other. Second thing I'm going to ask you to do is this, surrender all. One of the things I like about this 12-step program is you can't hide. I mean, you can. You can lie. People do it all the time. But you can't hide from God. If you're really going to be serious about this, God is going to start pointing out things, one thing after the other. And these guys in my group, they're sharing like, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. And my answer to that is, man, I'm stuck on bitterness. I've got so many things to work on in my life, but you can't hide. So surrender all. Reminds me years ago when I was convinced that God told me to drop the charges. Just let it go. Let it go. And it's been years since I've held on to that. What do we call that? Sin. Idolatry. And I've gotten to a place where in my sin and idolatry, I begin to make God into my image instead of who he really is. A God who has said, drop the charges. Black and white, clear as day. You got something going on in your life that you know God has pointed his finger and said, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's sin. Surrender it. Surrender it. Let's not, like they talk about authenticity, right? Authenticity is to say, you know what? I don't have it together. I don't have it together. I'm telling you right now, I don't have it together. Like I mentioned last week, I'm not the perfect husband. I'm not the perfect father. I'm not the perfect pastor. I'm not the perfect sin. I'm a pretty good sinner. I shouldn't say that much. I can do that really well. You got a sin? I'll do it, man. I got that. I don't have it together. I don't have control. Sometimes my life, I think sometimes it's so far out of control, I can't do this. And you know what the beauty of that is? That's God said, that's where I want you to be. I want you to be at a place where you can say, I can't. So that you look at me and say, I can. And then surrender, trusting that I am good, that you can surrender to me and know that I will take care of you. So surrender all. Surrender all. It reminds me, I realized this week, that dream that I had a few weeks ago about Jesus standing there with the light on the pathway, holding it up with his hand reaching out to a person who's down on the ground, I think that to me is the theme picture in my mind of what this whole series has been about, where God says, this is where you are. That's where I want you to be. Take my hand, and I will carry you. I will walk with you. So I thought it was maybe for one person. If that one person is just me, that's fine, but I think it's for all of us. To understand that this is only step three. We got to get to a place where we surrender and move on. And here's my third thing. I'm going to encourage you to join the 12-step group. You don't have to. But if I could do it over again, I wish that this program had come across my life probably about 40 years ago. The truth is, it's a program. Just like Celebrate Recovery. If you don't want to do Regen, do Celebrate Recovery. Find something out there. But I wish that I'd come across this because it's not just a program, it's encouraging a lifestyle. Anybody can do a program. When we're done in September with the 10 months of this 12-step program, and we have a regen program that's shorter, so hang in there. But when we get there, I'm not done. The rest of my life is walking these 12 steps over and over and over again because it's the call of Jesus to follow him, to deny myself, to take up the cross and follow him. It's a lifestyle. This program is not a program unless you make it one. But it is the best one in 40 years, even better than experiencing God, which was excellent because experience God gives us another side of the coin, but it doesn't deal with the sin and idols that are in our hearts. The very things that destroy our relationship with God because we walk in the flesh and not walk in the spirit. And you can't do the same. You can't do them at the same time. In the same way, Jesus must be Savior and Lord. And he calls us to this life of surrender, asking us to trust him that where he's going to bring us is life. He He's going to pull us out of death and bring us into life. Let's pray. Oh, you know what? Sorry. Glad I caught this. Dan, can you put up the number? Oh, hey, there it is. Oh, you're awesome. You are a great AV guy. I appreciate that. I'm going to ask you to take out your phones. You can pretend if you want, like you're going to fill this in. But if you text the number 94000 and regeneration put in there, that will help me know if you're interested in doing this regen program. Now, if there are no responses, I'm okay with that because I'm enjoying it, and I think you will too. But if you're interested, hey, I want to do something like this. How do I get to do it? Then text that number, put in regeneration, and it will let me know who's interested, and it's okay to be interested. And then I will talk to you more about how we can start something like that here at Harvest. I want to encourage you. Peter has asked me to do something like this with the youth group. So something like regeneration will happen at Harvest. My hope is that it will be with people like all of us here. Because I love you, but I'm going to be honest, y'all messed up, right? If we're really going to be honest, there's something in us that's missing. And you know what? If you don't believe me, go to regenerationrecovery.org and look at the testimonies of the myriads of people who talk about all the things we've been talking about and say, I was messed up until I found this life, this new life, this new creation in Jesus, and I walked that path. Let's pray. Father, you are good. And as we read scripture, just come back to the fact that over and over again, you're good. That even when we stumble, we fall, we sin, we reject you. We put up other idols before you. We follow after our way. We do whatever we want to do in whatever way that we want to do it. You just keep calling. Come. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. Come to the feast. Come to the banquet. Eat the great food that I have planned for you. Walk in this new life. And yet we still hold up our hands and say, wait. But you call. And you call. You call. And you also tell us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Meaning that one day you may not be found. Because if we continue to reject you, if we don't surrender all, if we don't come to that place where we say, not my will, but your will. Because of your love, you bring this discipline to draw us to you. Like a parent who disciplines their child to prevent them from going down a deep, dark path, to bring them to a place where they can actually live in peace and harmony. That's what you call for us. And so I pray, God, please draw us as a church family, to yourself, in a way, trusting in your goodness, surrendering all, recognizing we cannot be like Jesus and may not even want to be like Jesus. To live this life that you call us to, you've provided everything we need, from the cross to the resurrection to the ultimate ascension into heaven by being in Christ. Everything. We can't, you can. So we surrender. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. A little bit of context to understand where I am as a person and I'm coming from. This week in my group, someone said about themselves, not me, they said, you know, my pastor told me I'm really good at being vulnerable. It's really great being honest. Then the pastor went on and said, but you know what? You suck at repentance. In other words, it's really easy to go, hey, man, that God is doing this. And I'm going to be honest with you, I got angry twice this week. Once at another driver and once at my daughter, never at my wife, of course, because it's Mother's Day. I am imperfect. This is not a call to perfection. It's a call to Jesus and living a new lifestyle. To talk and talk. To me, there's a red flag. If you can hold on to something for years, that's a problem. That's apathy towards God and his will. It's got to change. So I'm going to make a call to you is if there's really something in your life, you don't have to do it now, and it's not an altar call. There's really something that you know is keeping you from God and you're doing wrong. Turn from it. Turn from it, because sin destroys. But God gives life, mercy, and grace. Come, come. So here's my prayer this week. May you be troubled in heart over your sin. May God give you no rest in those areas that you hold on to, so that he might bring you to his place of rest, in his presence, in his mercy, in his grace, and in his extravagant love. May you enjoy that this week. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.